Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
You're listening to The Spectrum. Bob Hybrid. The Ivory Coast Media Production.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory once again. Today is the replay episode featuring two guests that really know the deal on success in the marketplace. And we're calling this episode, Can't Hide Success or Failure. Enjoy these powerful insights from Benny Randall Jr. and Terry Lee Chandler. Get your pen and paper handy because I believe you'll want to take notes on this one. Godspeed and be well. We have a special guest on our show today, the one, the only, Mr. Benny Randall Jr. I know you've experienced great hardships on the way to your success, but do you remember the moment your mind shift changed and why?
I think my mind change when I was a dancer, because what happened, I got around people where I see that they were getting paid large amounts of money for doing what they actually love.
Okay.
And that was a new thing to me, to get paid a lot of money doing something you actually love. So that's when I realized, you know, they would go on stage and be on there for like 10, 15 minutes and get thousands of dollars. I was like, this is the business I need to be in.
Hmm. Wow. So I know in your coaching business, you talk a lot about the mindset. Why is the proper mindset such a big deal? Why is it so important?
The mindset creates the world you experience. That's what most people don't realize, that what you have in your life was created by you. So if you feel like you're lacking at this moment, it's because your mindset is lacking. Hmm. It's just that simple. You created the environment you're in. No one else created that environment. Somewhere along the line, you believed you could or you believe you couldn't. Okay, as the old saying goes, back in the days, that says, you know, whether you say you can or you can't, you're right on both occasions. But I tell people, if you look at your life and you're not happy, it's because you haven't done enough and you haven't changed your mindset enough to actually get the abundance that exists. Because,
wow,
See, God is abundance. People think that, you know, God wants you to be broke or whatever. No, God is abundance. He's everything. So if he's your father, he's everything, you don't have everything, I think it's probably partially due to the child of how that's applied what his father has already told him was his. So that's where the mindset comes in. You are a co-creator. If your father tells you that you can have it all and you don't have it all, it just means that you didn't really pay attention. You are not applying the aspects of your mindset. That's what they call it, mindset, to get what you want. So if you have lack, it's because somewhere in your mindset, you believe in lack. It's just that simple. Lack doesn't just show up in your life. You have to attract it. The same way you attract success, you have to attract lack. And that's what people don't realize. So when you're complaining about those bills and you know those are bills, you're doing exactly what you would be doing. It's just the opposite of success. That's it. It's simply the opposite of what it is to grow. Then you go.
Wow. Now, do you remember in your own life a time of having a lack mindset?
Oh, of course. When I was young, I thought I was the black sheep of the family. I thought I wasn't, you know, I had, you know, the brothers and the sister and you know, where I come from, it was all about whether you're light skin or dark skin, and
wow,
you know, how you look, and all of that mattered, you know. So me being the dark skinned brother, you know what I mean, I didn't get the girls. They wasn't running after me. They wasn't bringing my phone off the hook or nothing like that. So, you know, I believe that maybe there was something wrong with me.
Wow.
You know, like I wasn't special. And what I realized is that I really was special. I just didn't have the mindset to understand it. So therefore, I produced that lack that I seen instead of that growth that was within.
Wow. That is something. So do those memories, do they still push you to this day? Childhood and those types of experiences that you had, do they still push you to this day?
Well, what they do, they allow me to help other people because I can always call on them and remember the time when I didn't feel as strong as I should have felt. And then that way I'm able to relate to that person that I may be communicating with to understand why they feel that way. You understand? So remember, I tell people, if you ever want to be successful, only teach what you know.
Mm.
Only teach what you experience. If you ever want to be successful, only teach what you experience. The problem is most people try to teach stuff they never experienced.
Exactly.
And that's where everybody has the problems come in. And that's why you have successful and unsuccessful coaches and, you know, advisors and things, because, you know, many are teaching things that they never experienced or they never were successful in. So it's hard to call on. It's hard to teach somebody to be successful if you're not.
Right. I would imagine, especially when it comes to money, because people, they, you know, they feel like can pull the wool over people's eyes and use a few buzzwords about money and abundance, and really, they don't really know. They may have read something about it, but they don't. That's not their personal experience as it relates to wealth.
But you got to remember, very simple, in order for you to pull the wool over somebody's eyes, you have to first pull the wool over your eyes.
Hmm.
So you have to deceive yourself in order to deceive the next man.
Wow. So what does self-deception look like?
Look at the person in the White House. You gotta say more.
Okay.
You know, it works for him and it works against him. You know, it worked for him because he believed that he could actually be president. It worked against him because what he was actually doing wasn't what was actually happening. So eventually it caught up with him. You understand? So
sure.
He's the perfect example of self-deception.
Wow. Okay. You, excuse me. You talked about abundance before. And so let's talk about financial success. Why is financial success important to you? And also, if you can add to it, why should it be important to other people that have not yet achieved it?
Okay, I think you said
why is financial success important to you?
Because very simply, how you gonna feed somebody if you're hungry? If you understand what I'm saying? If your plate is empty, how you gonna feed me?
Right.
You have to have some success to be able to supply others. I don't care if you have a nonprofit. Even nonprofits have to have money in order to run the nonprofit. Go figure.
Right.
They need some type of funding from somewhere, whether it's from government or it's from private entities. You know, you can't help nobody if you can't help yourself. Like, I don't understand why this is so hard for people to believe. Like, you know, okay, I'll just go out here and beg what I need to help other people. No, you're doing it wrong. You should make enough so that you can then, in return, share that overabundance with others. That's the right way to do it.
Hmm.
You know, when people go the opposite way, they go in with underabundance. And then when it starts to run low, they say, well, I need help because I'm trying to help all these people. Well, first try helping yourself.
Right.
Don't come to me if you're hungry and then trying to feed me.
That makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. From observing you in videos with your children and the posts that you make concerning your children, it's clear you've made a conscious decision to be very present and active in their lives. Talk about the decision
Because it's obvious, it's not a decision that all fathers make to be involved in their children's life. And if you don't mind, talk about how you deal with the challenges of being a single dad as well.
I truly believe in, you don't tell your kids what to do, you show them.
That's good.
We have too many parents that like to tell their kids what to do, but they won't show them. Wow. You go out and you become successful, but then mom, dad, what about you? Or you go out, you get a great education. Well, you didn't have that. So, you know, how about showing them what they're able to do with or without that education? How about showing them what they're able to do of being successful? Kids will learn so much more from that. So I'm more in tune to giving my kids the experience so they can say, well, you know, I did this with my dad, so I know it's possible.
Right.
Versus my dad told me to stop drinking, but he was drunk.
Wow.
Those two don't go together.
No, they don't. You've been a very successful in business coach for several years. In your experience interacting with people, what separates
you? Did you say several years? Brother, you better compile that with something.
I don't know if it's 20. I don't know if it's 30. Let me rephrase. Let the audience know how
many years.
About 20 years.
Go ahead, yeah.
About 20 years. But not just a coach, but I preface it by saying successful, because as you used to teach me, and as you know, you continue to teach, is results is what matters. It's about results. And that's what you get. And I want to add also that in my experience, having been coached by you in the past, the results that I got from the teaching was without question proof in the pudding. So I am firsthand knowledge of your skill, and you practice what you preach, so to speak. But in your experience interacting with people, what separates people from the kind of success that brings freedom to live your dreams and not living that? Or what separates the action takers from the action talkers, as you would say?
Very simple, how bad they want it. And what people got to realize, money is not big enough to motivate you. It can inspire you a little, but it's not big enough to motivate you. What people should be focusing on is freedom. See, freedom will motivate you, will inspire you. Freedom will make you take actions, because if you want more time to yourself, what do you have to do? You have to take it from somewhere else, right?
Right.
So if you take it from somewhere else, that means you have to be less obligated to other things that don't allow you to have that freedom. So if people focus on the freedom aspect of their lifestyle, then the money will show up. Because, see, when you're free, you're the happiest. When you're free, waking up in the morning, doing what you want to do, that's when you're the happiest. And that type of energy will attract any and all things that you need to continue that freedom. But most people don't look for freedom. Most people look for security. And that's where they mess up, because there's no such thing as job security. The only job security is if you security. But the only, you know what I'm saying? And the reason why I say that is because job security just doesn't exist, because back in the day, the longer you stayed at a company, the more valuable you became. Nowadays, the longer you stay at a company, the less value you became, because you're at the top pay, you're making more money than most people, and you're probably doing less because you don't came up the ranks or whatever. So,
right.
You know, job security is an illusion, because you can be someplace for 20 years and 21 years, they go down and they go broke. Remember, no company will keep you unless they can profit off you. Let me say that again. No company will keep you unless they can profit off of you and your time. People don't hire people to work at cost. That's not beneficial to their life. Remember, they want to create the lifestyle for their family. So they need you to do the work so that they can be in central pay. You know what I mean? So that they can be somewhere else. That's the lifestyle I create. That's
right.
Where I can be anywhere in the world and still making money and hanging out with my family while I have people that are working their butts off, you know.
right.
In my systems for the day.
Hmm. Wow, that's good stuff. I know that you. I know you. You travel the world. You see a lot, and you see a lot in our community, and particularly with fathers, and more specifically, Black fathers. Do you have a message? Do you have anything you'd like to say to fathers that are seeking to do a better job of raising their kids and to provide more financially for my to become more financially successful so that they can do more with their kids? You have a message for them.
First, they got to figure out what they're good at. There's the old saying that says, if you're an expert at something, then charge people for it. If you're an amateur, you give it free. Let me try that again. Let me say that again. If you're an expert, people will pay you a lot of money for your expertise. If you're an amateur, you're probably giving it away free online.
Right.
You can't begin to produce happiness for others until you produce happiness for yourself. Once again, you said about making more money. They need to make more freedom. More freedom so they can spend time with their son. More freedom so they can spend time with their daughter. More freedom so that they can spend time with whomever they choose, whenever they choose, how much of it they want to do. That's what's important. Most people don't do that because most people are on other people's clocks. Remember, a job is a jail operating as a business.
Wow.
Okay? Because they tell you what time to come in. They tell you when you can leave. They can tell you how many vacation days you get. They can tell you what you can do and you can't do on their property. And they regulate basically your lifestyle. If they want you to stay over, they'll create something that we call mandatory. And then, you know what I mean? They are mandatory if you want to keep your job. You don't want to be mandatory, then leave.
Right.
See, that's why it's called a paycheck.
Hmm.
Let me say that again. It's called a paycheck because I check you with the pay. You get out of line, I'm going to take your check. You see what I'm saying?
Sure,
and
absolutely.
That's what it is. So that's your bondage right there because you need that paycheck for you to live. You need a paycheck for you to exist.
Right.
You're not really living. You're just existing.
Wow. That's powerful. Let's switch gears a little bit as we prepare to wrap up. And once again, thank you, Mr. Randall, for spending time with us on the spectrum. But you've written a book called Healing Yourself. Talk to the audience about what that book is about, why you wrote it, and tell them how they can get it.
Healing Yourself is just my journal of what I learned from losing my entire family. You know, my brother was murdered. My sister was murdered by her husband. My oldest brother died from health complications. My dad died from health complications. And my firstborn child died 1 week before he was supposed to be born. So what I did with this book, Healing Yourself, is that people don't realize that when we lose a loved one, we need not focus on the loss, but focus on the celebration of the time you did have with them.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, remember those times that y'all played together. Remember those times that y'all had the good times. Because if you dwell on the loss, you can't bring them back.
Right.
The idea is to say, they came into your life for a reason. And since they came into your life for a reason, what was that reason? Was it something that maybe you're supposed to do going forward? You know what I mean? How about creating some type of company or business that celebrates maybe idea they had? You know what I mean? Maybe there was something they were into, they were passionate. You can do it in their name. The key is to celebrate the time you had with them, not, you know, be depressed in the time that they left.
Right.
You know, what did you learn from experience? Because one thing we'll all promise when we get here, that we will die. We will all promise that. You know, some of it tragic, some of it not. But the key is to live in the moment. Every moment is special. Most people who understand that tend to be very, very successful people who, that's how come they're able to do more with their time, you know. We all have the same 24 hours, but what I do in 24 hours and what the average person do in 24 hours is look totally different.
Sure.
And that's why I get more abundance out of my 24 hours than they get out of their 24 hours, because they are not as aware of the 24 hours that's supposed to happen and what you can do. You know, I go to, you know, I go to places and, you know, luxurious places sometimes, and they have certain things where they will charge you by the minute to do something.
By the minute?
You know what I mean? By the minute. Why? Because they're reminding you how important every minute is.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you might go in a business center, whatever, they don't charge you by the hour, they charge you by the minute. So, they're going to be like, this is, let's just say it's $1 a minute. Well, it's going to be $60 for that hour because they're charging you by a minute. Hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas most people tend to charge by the hour.
Right, right.
You know, why? Because they've been trained to think of their pay in that way. You know, that's why when you go for a job, they say, you're going to get 50K. You know what I mean? But what you really need to do is say, all right, they're going to make 50K. I'm going to have 365 days I got to work. You know what I mean? What does that look like per hour? Then what does that look like per minute?
Wow.
And if people actually do that, they'll realize that most of them are probably getting somewhere between 20. Yeah, well, no, I don't even take that down further. Somewhere between maybe 10 cents or less per minute.
Wow.
On what they're getting paid for an hour. That means you are undervaluing yourself. How can you possibly win if every day you wake up and undervalue your work?
Wow.
Think about that. You charge less than what it costs you. So therefore, you're creating the lifestyle you have. So if you're short in abundance, you created that because you're undervaluing your work. You know what I mean? And you know, the way the universe works is very, very simple. Whatever you put out, you get back. So if you put out to the world, you're not worthy. You know, people get mad at CEOs that go and get packages for $20 million. Those people understand their worth.
Hmm. Wow.
But yet your boss comes to you and say, I got 50K for you, but I just gave him 50 million.
Wow.
Now you're still human. What is he doing something else? It's because he knows his worth, so he knows his value, so he can charge me that and I'll pay it versus you're not that valuable in my eyes. You may be valuable, but you're not that valuable in my eyes, so I'm going to pay you accordingly. So you're not worth 50 million, you're worth 50K. And then you sign on the dotted line and say, I'll take the job. All right, so you took the 50K job and now you're mad that the other guy got 50 million.
Exactly.
Who the smart one there?
Exactly. Makes perfect sense. I never will forget, this is many, many years ago. I had this epiphany, this aha moment. And I was the very thing you were talking about is, you know, I was griping, well, they only paying me, you know, they paying me peanuts. And it's like God said, well, you must like peanuts because you let them give it to you. You know, and I realized that I was responsible for how much I was willing to accept. And I was the one that was undervaluing my work. So that's an extremely powerful statement. And I appreciate you taking the time to share this powerful information with the audience. As we prepare to wrap up, do you have any final thoughts? And of course, once again, if you don't mind, tell the audience where they can get your book or your website once again, so they'll know where to get it.
Everything about me is at BennyRandall.com. That's BennyRandall.com. Or go to my private community at BennyOnDemand.com. That's how we do, brother. It's very simple. You can get the books. You can get anything. You can get calls. Everything at one location. I'm not going to send you to 20 or 30 locations. BennyRandall.com, BennyOnDemand.com. Or to listen to all the shows, go to Bashani Radio. shawneeradio.com or the Shawnee Radio app. Download it free in the App Store where you get everything right to your phone.
Yeah, that is why you are successful, because you know how to consolidate and keep things simple. Any final thoughts as we wrap up the show?
Stop focusing on the amount of money you want and start focusing on the amount of freedom you want. The moment you begin to focus on freedom, you'll find out how to get the money. The freedom is what you need. If you need more time to write that book, if you need more time to do that project, if you need more time with your kids, if you need more time with your significant other, The only thing that's going to help you get that will be the freedom.
That is great perspective. And we certainly appreciate the value you have brought to our time together. Thank you so much, sir.
God bless. And remember, I love you, and you can't do a damn thing about it. True word.
Indeed, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you soon.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The Spectrum with Bob Ivory. I want to thank you so much for joining me. We have an exciting guest on our show today, Terry Lee Chandler, media mogul extraordinaire, if you will. Welcome to The Spectrum, Terry.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Tell me something. What was the catalyst for you wanting to dive into the world of broadcast media?
Well, you know, I have always enjoyed writing.
Okay.
So my love of broadcast media started when I was a teenager watching the TV news. I decided then, about when I was 16, that I wanted to be a newscaster. So I just made up my mind then that that's what I wanted to do. And honestly, I mean, there were a number of setbacks and some trying times that I went through, but I was determined. As anybody would tell you that knows me, I was determined to make it happen.
Absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So what people, either inside or outside the field, inspired you and or motivated you to do what you do?
Going back to my teenage years again, I used to watch an anchor on Fox TV News in Detroit.
Okay.
And a lot of people may remember her, Beverly Payne.
Beverly Payne, of course, yes.
Yes, she always looked so beautiful. She was classy. She was just the consummate professional.
Sure, absolutely.
She was definitely an inspiration. And also Carol Simpson, the former ABC News weekend anchor. Now, she was an inspiration. And outside of journalism, one of my other things that I wanted to do when I was younger, I never really became a top model, but
okay.
I always admired supermodel Beverly Johnson.
Yes. I remember Beverly Johnson.
All of those women, I would say, inspired and motivated me.
So how old were you when you kind of got the bug? About how old were you?
I really remember sitting in front of the TV when I was 16. And I absolutely knew then that that's what I wanted to do.
When you reflect back on it now, how rewarding was it to have made a decision about what you wanted to be at such a young age?
Well, you know, it's rewarding because it's good to know what you want to do. I mean, there were times, of course, when I, you know, may have thought that I wanted to do something else.
Okay.
But that was the one thing that I know that stuck with me from the time I was young and still sticks with me today, because I absolutely love what I do. And I've always liked to write.
Okay.
And I was always writing. English was my favorite subject in high school. And I remember winning the spelling bee, and people telling me, and my sister, Sylvia, always telling me how great a speller I was. And anybody had a question about how to spell something, they would come to me. So because I just loved English and writing, that was just something that I felt would be the perfect career for me.
Absolutely. So you expanded your vocabulary early on then, especially as it relates to spelling.
I would say so, yeah. But there's some words now. I mean, if I watch the spelling bee now, most of those words, I don't know what they mean, let alone how to spell them.
But okay. All right. Okay, so moving along, were there ever moments Were there ever moments of discouragement for you in pursuit of your dreams or in pursuit of becoming what you wanted to be, and what inspired you?
Absolutely. I would have to say that one of the very first moments of discouragement that really stands out in my mind is when I was in college. I was in the Student Center building.
Okay.
And all of us were standing around waiting to register and do some other things. And this woman, a young lady, was also a student. I didn't know her. She just struck up a conversation.
Okay.
She asked what I was studying. Hmm. And I told her I was studying journalism.
Right.
And then she said, "What? You'll never make any money as a journalist.
Wow.
Why are you studying that?" And I thought to myself, I don't even know you. Hmm. The nerve of you to say something to me like that. So, you know, I just kind of walked away.
Okay.
But that was, you know, it's kind of surprising. But also another time that I can remember several times is when I tried to break into the business and couldn't get a break.
Mm.
It, you know, people coming up. I mean, it's different now because there's so many different avenues you can take. But back when I was coming up,
sure,
it was hard.
Far more challenging. Far more challenging. Yeah.
So what I did, one of the things I did, was I decided to create and anchor my own TV newscast.
Hmm.
And it ran on cable TV in Southfield. And I was what they call a one-man band. I was the writer. I did the camera out in the field.
Wow.
Recruited to serve as crew. I did the editing. And, you know, I look back now and go, man, how that did I really do all something. That? Huh. But I loved it. So I was doing what I wanted to do. So, you know, when you heard the saying, when you do what you love, you don't work a day in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's a great way to really get past the discouragement that you had experienced. What did that feel like for you at those moments? I mean, you've got this dream in front of you. You're all excited and ready to go. And then, bam, people are saying stuff to you. Did you have other people say negative things to you as you were pursuing your dream?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had a news director. Oh. This is another thing that I'll never forget. I had a news director. I was working behind the scenes as a writer-producer. And he told me that I would never be on the air.
Wow.
He didn't delivery. So that was very discouraging, but it also motivated me to work even harder.
Ah, very good. That's very good.
Inspired me to go back to school because I wasn't about to give up. You know, I worked hard. It was my dream since I was a teenager. So I was not about to give up.
So what do you credit that tenaciousness? Where did that come from? That you just made up in your mind that you weren't going to give up?
You know, I honestly have to say that, you know, my mom raised us. You know, I have a brother and a sister.
Okay.
And she raised us to believe in ourselves and to work hard for what we wanted. My mom was a very hard worker. And I would help her go to work every day, come home, cook dinner, wash clothes, do the housework. So that was all, you know, looking at her and seeing what she went through and never giving up and really never complaining just inspired me and motivated me. And I think a lot of it, in my case, is just genetics. I don't know. It's just inside of me that I just feel like if I work so hard for something, I'm not going to give up.
You are not going to be stopped. Absolutely right. Outstanding. So tell me this, what would you say to a young girl or young boy or anyone? But I mentioned a young girl in particular, because I think it's important that we encourage our young girls and young ladies to pursue careers in media, you know, in science and so forth, and really anything, because it's been a long time since you probably remember in years past a lot of emphasis was put on boys and what boys, you know, become in. But I think it's important to encourage our young ladies as well. So what would you say to a young girl looking to pursue a similar path such as your own?
You know, I would say, find a mentor.
Mm.
Find someone in whatever business that you want to go into, whatever career you want to do, or if you're even just thinking about something and you're not sure, you know, find someone who you admire and reach out to them for advice and support. You know, people you'd be surprised at people who are willing to help and will help, but you have to ask, because sure. if you don't ask, they won't know. The other thing I would say is do what I did, which is to work hard. You know, okay. get in school, and also especially in anything entertainment related,
right.
it's an internship. Mm. Because that is 99% of the time, that is the way you get your foot in the door. And many times, those internships can pay turn into paid positions.
Oh,
and
wow.
why you get yourself a good demo reel, because that's what you're going to need when you're out there, you know, searching for work. And don't be afraid to go to a small market and work your way up, because a lot that's where you learn.
Sure.
You get your experience, and then you can move on to, you know, something bigger and better.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And the other thing is make sure to attend networking events, join professional organizations. And, you know, nowadays with social media, LinkedIn is excellent for that.
That makes sense. Sure. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Were you finished?
Yeah, pretty much just attend networking events and join professional organizations. Get as much experience as you can, because all of those things are going to be very instrumental in helping you move up the ladder and achieve the success that you're looking for.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So tell me, what are some of the things you enjoy most about what you do? What have been some of the benefits and perks, if you will?
Oh, well, you know, as a film critic, I love seeing movies, and I get to see all of the movies courtesy of the production company. So that's a big perk. And doing what I love to do. You know, I love what I do, and I can't see myself doing anything else. That's a big perk. The other thing is, you may know that I founded the ICU Awards.
Hmm.
It's an award program for independent filmmakers. We're going into our fifth year.
Okay. All right.
I love that, because I know from firsthand experience, having made two short films right now and helping other independent filmmakers make their films, just how hard it is to produce a film. So I love watching the different movies that are submitted. I love reading the screenplays. And I especially love recognizing and rewarding their achievements, because I know, as I said, how hard it is to
okay.
make a film and even to write a screenplay. So
all right.
it just gives a lot of satisfaction to be able to recognize and reward their work, because it is such a challenging endeavor.
Exciting. Absolutely fantastic. You do have quite the impressive bio as it relates to both radio and television. Are there any secrets or important details people need to understand about the media if they're going to pursue any type of career in that particular field?
To say that the media is here to inform and enlighten, and also to present the information. You know, a lot of people send us press releases. I work at WWJ, as you and probably a lot of people know.
Okay.
So we get press releases, and if it's a well-written press release that has some information that we feel the public needs hear, or then by all means send it, pitch it to us, because we're always looking for stories. So remember that.
Okay.
We always, WJ, the news watch never stops, and it truly doesn't.
All right.
So we're here, as I said, to serve the public, and I'm proud to be a broadcast journalist living my dream and doing what I want to do with my life.
Wonderful. Now did you mention a movie you're working on or you've written?
Produced two short films. The first one is called Quickie Lube, which I produced several years ago. And my husband, Dexter, used to work in an oil change shop.
Okay.
He would come home every day and tell me all these crazy stories about his day.
Okay.
So I said, you know what? That sounds like a movie. So I made a short film. And one of my colleagues told me that it reminded her of the characters from The Office. And I thought that was such a major compliment.
Sure.
And then a couple years ago, we went to Los Angeles because, you know, on my bucket list was I wanted to make a movie in L.A. So I went to Los Angeles, you know, raised the money, found the cast, the crew, and everything. And we went to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And we produced a short film called Sexy Dex. And it's about a young man who thinks he has his life all figured out until he meets his new next door neighbor and her 12-year-old son. Hmm. So it's a very inspiring, feel-good story.
Okay. Sounds interesting. So is it done, or when can we expect to be able to view it?
It is done, and I'm looking for an outlet now where I can stream it so people okay. can watch.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Terry, I certainly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to share with my audience the information that you shared, because it's from someone that's on the inside. That is priceless information. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience as we prepare to wrap up?
Yes. You know, I would like to say that whatever it is anyone out there listening wants to do for a career, remember to choose wisely, because you're going to be doing it, hopefully, for a long time if it's what you like. And remember that, you know, our parents told us this when we were young: if at first you don't succeed, try again. Mm-hmm. And that still stands true to this day. Now, I also would like to say that I interviewed Tyler Perry a few years ago.
Okay.
And he told me that people who give up didn't want it bad enough.
Hmm.
Think about it. If he had given up, there'd be no Tyler Perry Studios and all those wonderful shows that his production company produces.
Absolutely.
And if I had given up, there would be no ICU awards. And of course, I wouldn't be a film critic. And what a shame that would be, not only for me, because I wouldn't be living my purpose and what I want to do, but also because the filmmakers have told me so many times how much they love the awards program and how much it means to them.
Wow.
So just keep pushing, believe in yourself, and just never give up. As long as you don't quit, you are succeeding.
Wow. Well, Terry Lee Chandler, that is really exciting information, and I really appreciate your energy. And I want to thank you for being on the Spectrum with Bob Ivory. Please tell our listeners how they can keep up with what you're doing and how they can connect with you.
Certainly. They can find me on my website, which is terryleechandler.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Wow. Thank you so much. Once again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I was scrolling through and I saw you with all the famous pictures, all the famous stars. I think I saw a picture with you and Eddie Murphy on your yes. on your page.
I went to Los Angeles and met
him. Hello?
Yes?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, yes. I was saying I met Eddie Murphy when I went to Los Angeles to do what they call a press junket for his movie, Dolomite Is My Name.
Okay, okay. Wow.
That was a wonderful experience.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that you've inspired a lot of people today, and certainly you've inspired me. And once again, like I said, I appreciate your energy. You have an absolutely fantastic day on purpose, and look to be hearing and seeing more from you very soon. Thank you so much, Terry.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Have a good day now.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining me today. You go out there and you get the size shoes that fit your feet and you live your dreams. You'll be astonished at how happy you become. Be well, my friends. Ciao for now.
And if I had given up, there would be no ICU awards. And of course, I wouldn't be a film critic. And what a shame that would be, not only for me, because I wouldn't be living my purpose and what I want to do, but also because the filmmakers have told me so many times how much they love the awards program and how much it means to them.
Wow.
So just keep pushing, believe in yourself, and just never give up. As long as you don't quit, you are succeeding.
Wow.
Completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.